Coming up this week on Vacation, Land of Fire darkens the skies above the happiest place on Earth. A major theme park company plays musical CEOs, and SeaWorld gets an offer it probably shouldn't refuse. Plus, we've got some tricks and treats to discuss for getting the most out of this year's Not Scary Farm, and we'll introduce you to the newest core member of our team. Plus, a little bit later on, John's going to talk about his experience at the Winchester Mystery House's Candlelight Tour. Broadcasting from an undisclosed location near the Pacific Ocean, this is Vacation Land. This is Vacation Land for the week of October 16th, 2017. You can connect with Vacation Land at facebook.com/vacationlandpodcast. We're also on Instagram at @VL_podcast. And more exciting news, we are now available for download on iTunes. So if you're enjoying this show, and we certainly hope you are, go on, head over to iTunes, click that subscribe button. Feel free to leave us any feedback you may have or anything you want to hear for future shows. How's everyone doing this week?
Good.
Wonderful. Right.
So welcome to Vacation Land. We're I like to call ourselves a sort of weekly show on all things theme parks around Southern California. So we discuss Knott's Berry Farm, Universal Studios, and of course Disneyland on our show. And joining me at the table today are YouTube sensation and journalist Brandis Strautman.
Got it right this time.
All right, got it. To my right is our associate producer, John Bass.
Ooh, is that a new title?
That associate is a new title. I gave it to you the 2 weeks you weren't here.
I'm going to need a business card now. That's it.
All right, I give you the $5 business cards for John Bass, ladies and gentlemen. And across the table from me, oops, I just kicked the music stand. Across the table from me is the newest core member of our group. Say hello to Delaney McCullough. Delaney, hello. You are. So we haven't recorded the show in the last couple of weeks, but I hope that you have been enjoying some of the other things that we put up. Our reviews on this year's Halloween offerings have gone up, and we had some coughs and colds. And so we're back this week. We're going to get back on track, back on our normal recording schedule, usually every 2 weeks, unless we have a show a little something special for you. But I want to take this moment to introduce Delaney. So this is our core team, guys. This is our main team that's going to be bringing you all the news and reviews from around the SoCal theme park scene. And we're really excited that Delaney is finally, thank you, able to join us. So Delaney, just tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right. Well, my name is Delaney McCullough. I just graduated, so I'm now a freshman in college, so I'm, you know, dealing with all the college things now, getting it done. I'm originally from Oregon, but now I moved down to Southern California in 2008, and I've been going to Disneyland, you know, pretty regularly since then, and I've been a pass holder since 2013.
That's great. So like I said, we're going to send Delaney out whenever there's something breaking or something good going on at Disneyland that the rest of us working folks can't get to, so we're going to send her down. But Delaney's a working folk too, so we're really excited to hear a different perspective, a younger person's perspective on the show. So, all right.
Well, did you just call yourself old?
I think I just called us all old.
Thanks.
You're welcome, John. Age before beauty. All right. Well, thank you, Delaney. We'll get back to you when we go park hopping later on. But before we get going here, I just wanted to take a moment. We weren't able to discuss this when it happened, and it's been about 2 weeks now. But I just wanted to take a moment and bring a little news and some updates about the two Disneyland cast members that were involved in the Las Vegas shooting a couple of weeks ago. So we do want to remember Carrie Barnett at this time. Our thoughts and all of our good wishes go out to her family and all of those affected. She was a Riverside resident. Carrie Barnett was a part of the culinary team at Disney California Adventure for 10 years. And California Adventure has only been open for 15 years, I think, at this point. So she was one of the practically an original cast member there. She worked as a food prep trainer and a manager overseeing the restaurants and concession stands at the theme park's Pacific Wharf area. And we just want to acknowledge her passing and just the tragedy, the senseless tragedy of all this. and our thoughts and prayers go out to her and anyone affected. Also, we want to take a moment to sort of acknowledge Jessica Malam. Jessica's from Sanger, California in the Central Valley. She remains in an intensive care unit, but her father said that the progress she was making is extremely encouraging, and that comes from a story on her in the Fresno Bee. Again, just a senseless tragedy, but we do wish Jessica well in her recovery. So that being said, we're going to move on now, and we're going to move on to something a little bit happier things. So first thing I wanted to talk about, too, before we get into park hopping, is Knott's Berry Farm has released their tips and tricks on their website. So I'm just going to read these off. I pulled these up. These are very corporate PR release, but since Brandis is the one that has been there most often, you're going back next week, right? Mm-hmm. So you're going to be...
we're going to do it better next week.
Okay. How are you going to do it better?
We're going to the buffet dinner, which offers early entry. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the 5 o'clock dinner was sold out, so we're going at 5:30. So we have to keep our eating down to 30 minutes to get the hour early entry.
Sometimes that's hard with that Knott's Fried Chicken, just to keep it down to 30 minutes, especially.
Yeah,
when
well, their dessert options aren't that great, so should be able to.
When I worked at Knott's back in the late '90s, they did buffets all the time, and the dessert options were. I don't know what it is about dessert. I think they just want you to get out and leave.
It used to be like a fondue fountain or something. It's just brownies, pie, and cookies.
That's
and carrot cake.
Yeah. No, not even like boysenberry pie or.
No, it's boysenberry pie. Okay. Carrot cake, brownies, and cookies, and that's it.
Okay. Well.
So I'll just be eating my meat and going.
There you go. So here we go. So Delaney, have you been to any of the Not Scary Farm Halloween Haunt? Any of those?
No.
This year?
See, I can't do the scary. That's why I go to Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. That's my jam right there.
Have you been to Mickey's Not So Scary this year?
I have, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I went pretty early.
We'll get back to you on that one.
Oh, yeah.
all right, so Brandis, let me see. Let's see. So the tip, we'll go in reverse order here. So number 8 on their tips and tricks is after the mazes and shows, continue your night by venturing through the 4 scare zones and thrilling rides, including the Timber Mountain Log Ride Halloween Hootenanny. have you been on the Halloween Hootenanny?
Yes. Yes, we went last Saturday.
Okay.
And I don't know if it was my imagination or the ride was sped up, but it did seem to go faster. Other than that, it just looked like somebody decorated their house for Halloween.
Probably not the way I decorate my house for Halloween. There's ropes and a huge electric bill involved in that. Probably not the way John does a pretty good job of decorating his ass for Halloween, too.
As soon as I'm done with this podcast, it's off to Home Depot for more construction material.
See, decorations and construction material just are not in my...
We will take sponsorship from Home Depot.
There we go. So Home Depot, if you're listening.
We'll reach out to them.
Okay, so number 7 is check out the hanging, and this is the best title ever, you guys, fake noose.
Oh, my God.
Check out the hanging fake news for pop culture with some killer comedy and high-flying stunts. Brandis, have you seen – you've only been there once, right?
We saw the hanging.
So did they just go, what did Universal do 12 years ago and we'll just take that?
I think they – I don't know.
I don't know how long the hanging's been running, but they do it every –
Well, the hanging's been running for as long as I can remember. I think it's an original show.
Yeah, they just change each year. It's just whatever pop culture is going on.
See, I'm old enough to remember when the hanging was hosted by the Crypt Keeper from Tales from the Crypt, that old HBO show. So it's changed a little bit since then. It's clearly nobody knows who the Crypt Keeper is. But have you seen the hanging yet?
Yeah, it's pretty. It's okay. I don't usually stop and watch it. The last time I stopped and watched it is when Jersey Shore was a thing, and that was actually pretty funny.
Okay.
But after that, I'd rather get to the mazes than watch a show. But this time, because it was fake news,
gotcha.
I did have to watch it, and it was okay. It wasn't as funny as the Jersey Shore one I watched years ago, but it was funny.
All right. And the title, fake news, just... Make of that what you will.
I'm gathering all those titles are related to whatever pop culture thing is happening.
Yeah.
You kind of relate it.
Have you literally never been to, like, how, like, any of the scare?
Well, I went to Knott's Scary Farm when I was a freshman, and I went with a group of friends, and me and, like, one other girl stayed out of the mazes because we were too scared. Well, I think she felt bad for me, so she stayed out with me where everyone else went in. I felt really bad. Now, looking back, I probably should have just gone in, but I just haven't been since then.
All right.
You should go.
I know. I want to. I want to. I really do.
I haven't been. As we discussed a couple of weeks ago, like, I'm working in the business that I work in, which is live production. It's once you see this, how the sausage is made, then you start to pick up on all the flaws, and it's kind of like, okay, well, that's
yeah.
I see. We haven't been. Same here. I haven't been in probably 12 years.
So the last time I went to anyone, it was we went to 5 years ago, and that's when we all went to Halloween Horror Nights.
Yeah.
That was the last time I've been to any of these, so it's just so darn expensive. Okay, well, number six is make sure to catch the Elvira Mistress of the Dark show in the Ghoul Time Theater as the Queen of Halloween performs for the last time at Knott's Scary Farm, which, correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't like 10 years ago supposed to be here last time?
It was, but this is, you know, she was actually at the Midsummer Scream convention.
Right.
And truly, this is her last time.
Okay.
The one thing, you know, check and see, because even though that event happens, she's actually not there every single day. There are some stunt doubles.
Stunt Elviras.
Yes.
All right. Number five, we have talked about. Head to one of the newest mazes, Dark Ride, inside the Boardwalk Ballroom, then the Shadowlands Maze behind Accelerator. Afterward, you can make your way to the Halloween Scare Zone to check out another maze, Pumpkin Eater, before heading back to Ghost Town to finish off with the Voodoo Maze, Paranormal, and Tooth Fairy.
They're telling you to go in that order because the best... Okay, Dark Ride was good, but the Paranormal, Tooth Fairy, all those are the most popular, so that's where everyone goes first. So they're trying to redirect you because they know that part's going to be crowded. Mm. And that's funny because that's the route my husband and I took.
You took this route.
Everyone crowds around at Ghost Town waiting for it to open. And they have monsters wandering in the crowd as you're waiting for it to open, scaring you. So I'm like, look.
Delaney's shaking her head.
No.
Another thing, too. Like, you're just sitting there. You're packed in like sardines because everyone's waiting for it to open so they could get in line for, you know, the before the lines get long, get over to the, what was it called? The scare zone? No. Well, anyway. So, yeah, it's all packed, and somehow these monsters are still getting, like, right behind you and then, like, rattling in your ear or, like, getting in your face. But, yeah, we ran. We saw it wasn't busy towards the Camp Snoopy site, so we waited right over there front line and went straight to Dark Ride, Shadowlands, looped around.
And you were a big fan of some of these, especially the Dark Ride, and you also like the Tooth Fairy. Paranormal.
Yeah, well, we did not hit Tooth Fairy this year. We'll be going... Or this last time, so we'll be doing that next week.
Okay, great. So just to digress slightly from this, and we'll get back on track in just a second. Yes or no answer. When you go to a Halloween event, and this can apply to Mickey's as well, rides. Yes or no?
No.
Brandy?
No.
No.
Yes.
Yes. John?
No, unless it's Mickey's.
Okay. See, I'm a big no. If I'm there for the haunt, if I'm there for the event, I can go on the rides anytime. But if I'm there for the event, I want to just be there and experience the event and not wait 4 hours in line for Montezuma's Revenge. That's just me. Okay, so number four is begin your frightening maze journey with an all-new interactive trick-or-treat lights out maze behind Ghost Rider.
We will be doing that one next week. We missed it the last time. Due to me having a headache from screaming so much.
That's right.
So, looking forward to that.
All right. Number three, if you do plan on arriving later, do not exit Beach Boulevard. Save time by using Knott Avenue or Magnolia Avenue. Has anybody ever been on Beach Boulevard at 5 o'clock on a night where there's Halloween haunt?
Once. Just once.
That's pretty much everything you need to know about that. if you're in the Orange County area and you are not attending Halloween Haunt, stay the hell away from Knott's Berry Farm. And we'll talk about the traffic associated with the fires in a little bit, but it is the brake light capital of North America between 5 and 8 on Beach Boulevard, which is where Knott's Berry Farm is located. Okay. We just talked about this before. Best strategy is to arrive as early as possible. We recommend arriving at 6:30 to provide time to park and walk to the main gate. Now, you can also purchase the additional buffet to receive a buffet-style meal and gain early entrance to Knott's Scary Farm. But you were saying the times depend on what they have available.
Yeah, so you get to pick from three times, 5:30 and 6. And the early entry is for an hour, so starting at 6. So if you're going just for the food, yeah, go at 6 because that time's going to be slower. But everyone else is signing up for 5 and 5:30, and it sells out kind of quickly. So because you get in for a whole hour before the park opens. And anyone who's a pass holder knows that early entry, Knott's offers early entry during the summer for pass holders, and it is awesome. So you want early entry, and for the buffet and early entry combined, it's only $28. So it's a good upgrade.
Cool. All right, so the number one is kind of lame. This is, again, this is coming from Knott's Berry Farm's website. I just came across this a few days ago. Download the Knott's mobile app on your phone to provide interactive Knott's Scary Farm map, ride, wait times, and show times.
Yeah.
Now, I will ask you, Brandy, have you ever done any of these? And these actually should have been their number one. So Knott's PR department, if you're listening, I'm available to write your releases. Upgrade. I'll send them a link. So this is just kind of an afterthought, but I mean, it says upgrade to a fast lane wristband and receive priority access to all Scary Farm mazes and most thrill rides, and purchase the Knott's Scary Farm pass to experience all 25 of Knott's Scary Farm terror for one low price. Have you ever done any of the fast lane stuff or any of
that? No, because that's not a low price.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember if it was $85 to combine my husband and I or $85 per person.
Wow.
But the hour early entry is the better deal. Yeah, the Fastlane passes are not.
Okay. That's an interesting take on it from someone that's actually been there. So continuing, this is our last show that we'll have before the Halloween season is over. You recently went to Knott's Berry Farm and you got to experience Camp Spooky.
Yes.
Tell us all about it.
It was cute. I already talked about the Halloween overlay they did on the log ride was not impressive. I could see something similar going through my neighborhood. But the Halloween overlay they did on the... I can't remember what it's called. There's the little train in Camp Snoopy.
Oh, because the Grand Sierra.
There you go, High Sierra.
The only reason
the trucks, one's the train. There's Grand Sierra or High Sierra.
See, that was put in after I was both too old for Knott's Scary for Camp Snoopy, okay. And after I had left working that area. So
their Halloween overlay on that is very well done and adorable. And then there's this one part where they have this cute monster popping out, animatronics. And it was funny. It actually startled my husband. But the kids loved it. It was the whole ride is, it's, you know, it's for little kids. So it's a slow little train that, you know, does a recorded story. And this time we're going along saying, oh, look at that. Oh, no, look at that. And we just kept pointing. It's just really well done and exciting for the whole family. So there's that. They have the trick-or-treating done a lot better this year. In years past, it was too congested just to get 6 pieces of candy. And then the kids would get upset, and so then I'd have to buy them candy on the way home.
Maybe that was their plan the whole time.
Yeah.
They just wanted to buy the candy in the gift shop.
But this year it was done. I mean, like I said, it's just 6 pieces of candy, but the kids love going with all the characters in costume and trick-or-treating, even though it's really you just walk up and they dump something in your bag.
Is that done during the day?
Yes. That's only on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. That's part of Camp Spooky. It's for kids only. Yeah, they won't give you a piece of candy.
So, like, if John, like, rolled up with his Halloween bag?
No, my husband and I tried. We were hungry. We said we'd do that before we left for lunch. So the kids are getting this candy, and we're like, oh, can I just get one of those? No. Nope, kids only.
Okay.
Creepy Critters of Calico. That one was, they had a horse. This was so great. First of all, they have a horse there that loves selfies. And if you get in front of the horse to take a selfie, it'll put its head on your shoulder. They painted a skeleton on it. So that was really nice.
On the horse?
On the horse.
How did the horse feel so about cool. that?
So cool. It's a really friendly horse. I don't think it cared.
Okay.
I mean, maybe it wanted to get involved in the fun.
Maybe, okay.
They also had...
Horse costumes are very expensive.
They also had some very friendly rats that you could interact with. What you could not interact with, they had tarantulas and snakes and scorpions and cages. But it's in the stables, so it's like where they usually have a horse or a donkey is just cages of these. You can't really even get close, so that was a bit disappointing. But the horse was a lot of fun, and the rats.
Where is the horse? Like, I'm trying to think of Camp Snoopy.
Okay, have you been to Ghost Town Alive yet?
No.
When they started Ghost Town Alive, they opened up a barn, and the animals are only there during Ghost Town Alive, and now I guess for Halloween. But...
They were also there during the Boysenberry Festival.
Oh, were they?
Mm-hmm. They were there, too. Because I remember walking in there, and when I worked there at Knott's Berry Farm, the barn was like a venue for catering. And so, yeah, it was just a place you could rent out for your, you know, wedding or bar mitzvah or what have you. So when it was the Boysenberry Festival, we remember walking in there and, like, there's horses all of a sudden.
Yeah, and a really nice donkey. Or mule, I don't know.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you, Brandis. And our last sort of little Halloween tidbit here before we get into park hopping. Delaney, have you been to Mickey's yet this year?
Mickey's Halloween party, yes. I went beginning of October, and it was really fun. I'd never been before, so I have nothing to compare it to for past years.
Okay.
But there was trick-or-treating for all ages, which was nice. We had a lot of fun.
And they are not skimping on the candy for that.
No, they're not.
More than six.
Oh, it is.
If you want to, my wife usually, what she'll do is she'll, when we've gone to these things in the past, even when we've gone to the ones in Florida, what we'll do is we'll just like load up on the candy, and then we'll either take it back and give the candy out again at Halloween or take it to the office, you know, and give it out there.
Yeah.
So, okay.
It wasn't like unlimited. Like, you can't take a bucket and just scoop your own. Like, they are handing you pieces of candy, but you can go on through unlimited times. You can go around. They gave out a lot of chips, and they were delicious. I was not upset about it.
Bring your own bag for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, because,
yeah, at Knopf's, they give you this little bag.
Yeah, no, they give out little bags as well, but we went to the Dollar Tree and got super big ones.
Now, were they okay with that?
Like, bring your own bags?
Brought your own bag?
Everyone did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because when we've gone in the, like, John and I have gone to the one in Disney World before. Well,
Disney World, they handed the bags, but I think that was just because we didn't want to bring bags along with us.
Speak for yourself, John.
Well, okay, I was looking at the pillow, you know, taking the pillow cover just over.
The pillowcase.
I was just going to say, how come everyone's bringing bags? What's wrong with pillowcases?
Yeah.
Yeah, you could have. Yeah, no, we got, like, just Halloween-themed tote bags at the dollar store. So they
had to. And, sorry, I'm just shocked, number one, because it's Disney.
I know.
And so they were just okay with you bringing your Dollar Tree.
Maybe they didn't see it when we walked in. We weren't trying to hide it. And I mean, we were holding it.
But as you were like holding
up
the candy.
Yeah, no, they were fine.
Like, nobody's like, hey, what are you doing with your oversized bag?
No, they were absolutely fine.
All right. Did you go dress in costume?
Kind of. My friends and I, we had an evil queen with us. It was actually one of our friends. His name is Gavin. And he went full out evil queen. That got us a lot.
I know Gavin.
Yes. Lots of attention there.
Let me just say that's a perfect costume for him.
Oh, yeah. So he was the evil queen. We had a little Minnie Mouse, kind of like a Disney-bound kind of thing. And then...
I know who that was, too.
Yes. And then me and my other friend, we went in just kind of Halloween pattern dresses, and we had little bows, and she had a witch hat. So, you know.
You guys are super cute, aren't
you? Oh, yeah. So not necessarily a costume. I guess we went as Halloween for Halloween. So that's what we like to tell people. It was fun. The best part that was unexpected, because I didn't know what to expect, was there was a scarecrow who would talk to you. And he's just a guy. He had a name tag. His name was Stitches or something. And, you know, he lived on Main Street, USA. It was super cute. He was really, really, really funny and kind of Southern. And I was... He was adorable. We were in love.
That's so cool. Did you see any of the entertainment parades, anything like that?
Yes, we saw the cadaver dance would go around the rivers of America, and they were super great. They were like there every 15 minutes or something, and there was there was a trick-or-treat line that was, like, right next to the Rivers of America, so we'd go through that one a lot because the cadaver dance were there. So it was really fun.
That sounds like fun. One of my favorite things, and I haven't seen it this year, so I don't know if they were back, but last year they had the actual Dapper Dans dressed up in Halloween outfits, and they would sing instead of singing, you know, Meet Me Down on Main Street or whatever, they were dressed in their Halloween, and they would sing like the Headless Horseman song. Or
yes, they have those guys. They're in like orange and purple striped suits. Yeah. They're around during Halloween time. That's what they have. But they turn into the cadaver dance during the party. So it's kind of like a mix of both. You'll see them both.
Have you been to any of the Halloween time things over at DCA?
Well, it's very different than it has been in the past. They're going all out. They have I haven't been to any other. Are there any activities or anything? I haven't been to any of those, but Cars Land is looking really cool with all the cozy cones are all
Halloween.
Yes, the whole thing. Something we've noticed is the bakery has been. They came out. I don't know if they're new Halloween treats, but they're just super cute. They've got some. They've got poison apple cake pops and poison apple apples, and just they've got a lot more baked goods.
We went and did the cocoa exhibit for Day of the Dead the last time, about 2 weeks ago. So did you?
Over by in Hollywoodland by the.
It's in DCA on the back by where the what used to be Pizza Umamau. It's over by where Goofy Sky School is.
Okay,
it's where they have.
Oh yes, like, they had a thing last year for Halloween over there. Yeah, sort of.
But this year they're doing Day of the Dead, and it's actually really, it was actually really well done. I really enjoyed it. The film I'm not super sold on still.
Really?
Yeah.
What is it about? It's
literally. Have you seen the book? Have you ever seen the Book of the Dead, the animated movie?
Oh, Book of Life.
Book of Life.
I love that movie.
It's a little bit like that.
Okay, because my husband did say something about how Coco was ripping off Book of Life, and I'm just like,
yeah, he's not the only one that thinks
but
that.
Book of Life was a great movie.
I just saw the other day. So it's a story of a young boy who wants to be a singer, and he finds out that he's related to this great Mexican singer of the past, and he goes and something happens with the guitar, and he's certainly transported to the land of the dead, and it takes over. You know,
so
place
this
over.
Is like Book of Life without the love story. It sounds. Like.
I think that's what it is. If you replace the love story with the story of a young boy, you know.
And then there's a dog. Or
there's
something.
A dog, yeah. And then like his grandma's name is Coco, like that's so that's where the name of the film comes from. But you know, the Day of the Dead stuff, like they're over at Ramones, in Cars Land. They talk about like the offerings for the dead. They have a really like an altar set up for Doc Hudson.
Oh.
And so it's really cute.
Adorable.
But, you know, so it's really well done. Really, really, really well done over at Disneyland. And it sounds like Knott's had some great offerings for families as well this year. All right. Well, that will take care of Halloween 2017. That's going to wrap up our discussion on that. I'd like to thank everyone for participating. And now it's time to move on to park hopping.
Welcome to the Magic Kingdom of Disneyland. There are several ways to visit this happy place. If this is your first visit, you may enjoy the guided tour. Welcome to Universal Studios Hollywood, the entertainment capital of LA.
We hope you've enjoyed that new intro music for Park Hopping. So I'm going to get it started here. Park Hopping is our news segment. We're just going to take a few headlines from around the SoCal theme park scene. We've got some interesting stories this week, so I'm going to kick off with our first news story. Skies over Disneyland glow orange due to nearby wildfires. Smoke from the fast-moving Canyon Fire 2 burning in Orange County created an eerie atmosphere in the skies above Disneyland as visitor photos shared on social media Monday. last Monday. Visitors took to Twitter and Instagram to share photos at the resort, which is currently decorated for the Halloween season. The wind-driven brush fire, known as the Canyon Fire 2, started Monday morning around 9 a.m. and quickly burned over 2,000 acres. The sky was painted an orange hue and served as the backdrop for the park's famous attractions, including Sleeping Beauty's Castle and the Matterhorn Bobsled Ride. One visitor pointed out on Twitter that the current conditions mirrored the advertisement for the Halloween time decorations. Park guests reported the ash was raining down on them and smoke was visible all around. Lines were just as long, however, if not longer, because of Columbus Day crowds. Rumors began surfacing on social media Monday after the Canyon Fire 2 broke out in the nearby Anaheim Hills that Disneyland was going to close. The fire forced authorities to close highways, though, which left park guests scrambling for hotel rooms or sitting in traffic for hours. And yes, oh yes, did they leave sitting in traffic for hours? Did anybody get caught up in any of this fire stuff?
So. No, I work at my kid's school part-time, so it was indoor recess, and I live just a mile from the school, so...
I live far from where the Canyon Fire happened. However, I work not far from where it was going on, and to go 40 miles, I live about 40 miles from where I work, and to go 40 miles took me nearly 4 hours.
No way.
There were stories of people going from Brea to Anaheim, which is, if you don't know Brea, Brea is an area, North Orange County, Disneyland area. So if you don't, no, it's a relatively close area. It's a mile and a half, 3 miles distance as the crow flies. Normally a 15-minute – people were taking an hour and a half, 2 hours because they had closed down these major freeways. And it up until Friday when they reopened the toll road through South Orange County, the traffic on the local freeways was still being affected and just increasing drive times. Did anybody see any of the pictures coming out?
Oh, the pictures are amazing.
Wild.
Yeah. You could, you know, it's sad to say of a natural disaster like that, but some of those pictures are just kind of gorgeous.
Yeah,
just
they were
eerily gorgeous.
Wild, just the way that the sky turned orange. I don't know if, John, if you were around at Disneyland when the last time a major fire broke out, but there was a fire in Anaheim Hills about 12 years ago.
10 years ago. I think I just left.
Right. And so at that time, Disney was staying steadfast and they were saying no masks, nobody can leave early. And it was literally raining ash on the park. This time they did a little bit better where they still didn't allow masks, but if you were feeling affected by the smoke and ash, they were allowing cast members to go home early without points, without, you know, docking them. Hmm. Any
I thought
kind
you were
of
talking
points.
About the guests. I'm like, they wouldn't let guests leave?
No, guests. No. You cannot leave. You will stay.
You go on that ride.
Sorry. Yes, that's I should have made that clear. It was the cast. They were allowing the cast members to go home if they were feeling affected by these.
And no rides had to close down?
No. I left that kind of out of the story, but the rumors were circulating that the park was going to close down, and the park was going to close down early, and that Disneyland had been evacuated. None of that was true.
They
stayed open throughout the entire process. And I should say also, I should add that we do feel for those people. I think over a dozen homes were burned to the ground, and we do feel for those people, and we are sending them our best thoughts in the recovery. And it's just a terrible time for fires in California right now, between what's going on here in Southern California and all of our Northern California friends in Sonoma and in the wine country. I know friends that have been evacuated, had their parents' house evacuated.
I have friends who had homes lost, Santa Rosa area, which was just decimated.
I'm not trying to one-up you, but my friend lost a family member.
In the fire?
Yeah.
That's, oh, my God.
14-year-old boy.
Oh, no. That's, you know, not that there, you know, John, one of John Lasseter's houses had burned, or one of his properties had burned.
Charles Schultz.
That's what I was just going to say. Charles Schultz lost,
The house.
Yeah, he didn't lose it. His legacy did.
Right. And a lot of his drawings and artwork had been moved to the Charles Schultz Museum. And do you guys know there's a Charles Schultz Center? There's a Charles Schultz Museum. So most of his artwork had been moved to that But yeah, his widow and his family did lose a house. They did lose a lot of memorabilia, and it's just terrible what's going on up there. All right, I said we were going to get happier, and now we're talking about fires. All right, it's been a rough couple of weeks, and I think one of our motivations for not having the show last week, in addition to colds and stuff, but it was just a weird. It's been a weird couple of weeks, so. Yeah. You know, it's good to talk about parks and get our minds off of things again. So, all right, moving on. Brandis, what do you got over there?
Cedar Fair CEO Matt Ouimet to step down in January. Cedar Fair CEO Matt Ouimet, who joined the company in 2012 after years with Disney, will step down in January, succeeded by Richard Zimmerman, a longtime industry executive and current Cedar Fair president and chief operating officer. Cedar Fair, based in Sandusky, owns and operates 14 amusement and water parks, including Knott's Berry Farm and Cedar Point in Sandusky, Ohio. Ouimet released a statement saying, "I have very much appreciated the opportunity to serve as the CEO of Cedar Fair, and Richard is a perfect choice to succeed me as CEO. And I look forward to continuing to partner with him as the executive chairman going forward. Ouimet previously worked as the president of the Disneyland Resort, overseeing its popular 50th anniversary celebration before moving on to Starwood Hotels and later to Cedar Fair. Ouimet succeeded Theme Park Industry Hall of Fame Dick Kinsel as Cedar Fair CEO in January 2012. Under Ouimet's leadership, Cedar Fair invested in improvements to classic dark rides at Knott's Berry Farm, repositioning the California park as a competitor for Disneyland's family's crowd rather than aiming primarily at Six Flags thrill-seeking audience, as it began to do in the recent past. At Disney, Ouimet is widely credited for reviving Disneyland Park after years of neglect in maintenance and show quality under previous administrations."
All right, so that was... Yeah, it's a huge loss, I think, for Cedar Fair. It's this is kind of a thing that the theme park geeks mostly care about, but I thought it was interesting to put it in there because after Matt Ouimet, he was widely respected at Disneyland for coming in, and essentially, if you remember any of the things that went on during the 50th, it was largely due in part to his hard work. And when he went to Knott's Berry Farm, when he went to Cedar Fair, he brought a lot of that that drive and that passion to make things, the revitalization of Ghost Town Alive, all of these things that had been improved in Knott's Berry Farm, some of the maintenance things and things like theming, things like at one point they were playing top 40 pop rock as you walked through Ghost Town, in, you know, sort of the way that Cedar Fair does their parks across the country. But he, you know, Matt Ouimet came in and just made a lot of improvements. Dick Kinsel was the CEO, and so I have a little bit of knowledge of, you know, sort of the past CEOs and executives at Cedar Fair, and I'm glad Matt Ouimet is staying on as an advisor. And but again, his drive and his passion are something that are going to be sorely missed. Okay. Well, thank you, Brandis. Associate producer John Bass, what do you got?
So, Legoland owner has approached SeaWorld about a sale. Merlin Entertainment has approached SeaWorld Entertainment Incorporated about a potential deal, according to people familiar with the matter. As the UK theme park operator seeks to expand their overseas offerings due to a slide in tourists visiting London. Merlin, which runs the Thorpe Park Resorts in southern England and Legoland Parks across the world, has made a bid for part of the company, which could be a hurdle as SeaWorld prefers an outright sale. SeaWorld, which has been working with advisors to explore options including a sale, has also received interest from other possible suitors, asking not to be identified as details are not yet public on that. The offer comes as SeaWorld CEO Joel Manby struggles to stem declines in sales and the stock price of the Orlando-based park owner, once famous for its killer whales. For Merlin, a deal by the operator of the London Eye and Madame Tussauds Wax Museum would mark a continuation of its strategy to expand internationally to cope with a drop in day trippers to the British capital following terrorist attacks in London and Manchester. SeaWorld itself could raise as much as $1 billion from selling regional parks like Busch Gardens, getting funding to invest in its core aquatic-themed locations, SunTrust analyst Michael Swartz said in August. Busch Gardens has locations in Tampa, Florida, and Williamsburg, Virginia. What is not clear, however, is how the sale would affect its San Diego-based SeaWorld operations. If you recall, more than 2 years ago, in an attempted turnaround of the company, the shares of the theme park operator have fallen about 25% this year amid shrinking attendance and missed earnings. Park owner, you know, SeaWorld has also come under fire from the 2013 documentary Blackfish, which accused the company of mistreating its killer whales. That did affect SeaWorld's bottom line. Under Manby, SeaWorld stopped breeding orcas, created a new show in its San Diego park with animals performing more natural behaviors, and invested in non-animal attractions such as roller coasters and ocean-themed rides. So after this announcement, shares did bump up 4.6% in trading, roughly giving... well, SeaWorld shares went up. Merlin shares went up 1.8%, so that values Merlin at about $6.1 billion. So SeaWorld is kind of getting more of the bump in terms of stock of actually possibly having a sale to another company. But again, it's still kind of unclear as to, you know, what's that going to be. Is it a partnership? Is it complete sale? Is it...
I think whatever it is, SeaWorld should take the offer. So I know we talked about it. You weren't a huge SeaWorld fan even before Blackfish, right?
Yeah. It was back in our Starbucks days. So we're talking like 15 years ago. I had found out just how smart dolphins and orcas were. And as soon as I found out, I'm just like, how unfair to keep them in this tiny little cage. I mean, it's an aquarium or a pool, but it'd be like keeping a person in a cage and just letting them out to perform. I know it sounds crazy. Everyone at Starbucks thought I was crazy when I was going on about it, but then
they do that a lot at Disney. To be honest with you, they just keep you in a cage until you come out and perform.
But yeah, then Blackfish came out, and a lot of people started agreeing with me. But yeah, I've never taken my kids to SeaWorld. I've never gone. I've been to Marineland as a kid.
Mm-hmm. I remember. Yeah. Delaney, is that, I mean, you're a big Disney Parks fan, but yes. Is SeaWorld something that's ever been on your radar? Like on a weekend, you
know? No, I'm from Portland, Oregon, and which is kind of like the, you know, the hippie capital of the world. So my family's always been super anti SeaWorld. I can't say personally any sort of opinion on it because I've never been. Like, I don't know what it's like. We've never been, you know, the family to drive down to San Diego just to do that. I was in Texas over the summer, and we went to just an aquarium that was in Houston, and even that was, like, too much for me. Like, I couldn't handle it. It was just so upsetting to see.
I mean, I say this a lot. I'm old enough to remember when Knott's Berry Farm had a dolphin show.
Mm-hmm.
And
really?
I have, you know, in my memory, those sort of things, especially with Knott's, I think Knott's was kind of at the foreground, you know, the forerunner of some of these changing attitudes.
Yeah.
Because there were some accidents with the dolphins at Knott's, and...
I wasn't aware of that. I'm going to look that up when I get home today.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it seemed like everyone back in the 80s had a dolphin show.
Yeah, it was a huge thing. And they had this huge dolphin stadium, and they would bring the dolphins out, and it was great. And I mean, as a kid, you know, fantastic. But then you start to realize, you know, maybe it's... And I don't have an opinion one way or the other. I still kind of, you know, I haven't been to SeaWorld in probably 20 years or so, but, you know, it's just I know there are people that do enjoy that kind of entertainment, but it has been falling out of favor, you know, probably over the last, I'll even say the last 30 years or so. These things are just, people are not enjoying them as much because of changing attitudes or because of, you know, where they grew up and, you know, family values that they're passing down to the kids. So I'm sure if you, Delaney, if you get married and have kids, you know, you have no interest in taking your kids.
SeaWorld, yeah. It's not going to last. Yeah. It can't.
You said it's been changing for 30 years. Could it be because Free Willy?
That I would say absolutely had some impact on people's attitudes.
Right.
I think it's also just kind of lost popularity in terms of, you know, there's back in the days of Marineland, because that's where I had gone as a kid. You know, it was an attraction. It was something you'd go for all day. Now it's like there's so many other things to do. SeaWorld just, it's not as huge of a destination resort. And I mean, it is not a resort. It's not a huge destination. And I think it is. I think it's partially just changing attitudes.
And in your story, it mentions, you know, so some of these things that they've been trying to do, add roller coasters, add themed shows, add. But the truth is that they still push these parks as, you know, come see Shamu, you know, come see. And I think you're right, Brandis. A lot of that had to do with, you know, Free Willy and the story of Tillicum and, you know, that whole, you know, how that whole story went down. So, yeah, I think that those types of things, you know, whether Blackfish is or isn't what it said it was, that's a story for another time. But, I mean, I think you're both correct in pointing out that, yeah, it attitudes have been changing because of the entertainment value, but also because of what's been happening, and we're just a little bit more consciously aware of these things.
If SeaWorld would, you can't really release the killer whales that were bred in captivity, but, you know, if those whales, you know, die off eventually, as they will, and they don't do any more dolphins or orca shows, and it was just the aquarium experience at, say, like Long Beach Aquarium, that's like a good way to do it, and then add the rides, then I would take my kids.
Sure. Sure. And I think... Are we anybody familiar with Merlin Entertainment? Again, this is another one of those companies that I've worked for, and the many companies that I've worked for. So they run Madame Tussauds, the Wax Museum.
Yep.
Oh.
Have anybody ever been to, Delaney, have you ever been to a Madame Tussauds?
Yeah, when my old high school had their prom there.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
What was that? What was that like?
Just, I mean, I just, no, it
you
was
and
like
Kobe. Just
it was the high school I would have gone to had I stayed where I was living.
Okay.
And it was it seemed really cool. I've been. I went to a party on the roof there because I went to one of my dad's friends got a star on the Walk of Fame, and his party was on the roof of Madame Tussauds. So we got to go through there to look up. So it was cool.
So yeah, they also run Legoland.
Mm-hmm.
So they're a big player, and it, you know, I think SeaWorld would be borderline criminally negligent to not at least
entertain the idea
of selling some of their.
I think the big issue with SeaWorld not doing it is the whole fact that they're saying it's not an outright purchase; it's just a partial. I think SeaWorld truly wants to divest itself of.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like they would be divesting themselves of the only
of the Busch Gardens, that the more of the coaster stuff, and kind of keeping SeaWorld itself as that
separate entity,
and you know, I know SeaWorld itself also has like a research arm
right,
of their stuff,
and they
and
do
so it's
do
a
lot
question
of
are they is it more. Trying to keep that going as an organization.
Yeah, they do do. I mean, they do do a lot of good work. Anytime you see in the news that, you know, something beached itself, or that, you know, the injured sea life down on the coast or down in San Diego, you know, SeaWorld is always out there. So there is something's worth keeping and something's worth divesting. But we need to move on. Okay, so last story, and this is her first news story. All right, Delaney, what do you got?
There is now a Hello Kitty pumpkin patch. Sanrio has teamed up with Irvine's Tanaka Farms for a pumpkin patch that features Hello Kitty, along with Caterpie, Choco Cat, My Melody, and Pochaco. It will also feature a special edition Hello Kitty by Tanaka Farms plush that you will find exclusively at the farm, and as well as hayrides and other attractions. The pumpkin patch is already open and will stay open through the end of October. There's a variety of things to do on the farm, such as pumpkin picking, wagon rides, a petting zoo, a corn maze, and a you-pick veggie garden. Hello Kitty herself will make an in-person appearance during special events throughout the season. The Hello Kitty pumpkin patch will be located at 5380 3/4 University Drive, Irvine, California, 92612.
All right. So Hello Kitty pumpkin patch, anybody? Mm-hmm. I'm going there this afternoon. I'm not going to lie. So I'm like, Hello Kitty pumpkin patch. Hell yeah.
Well, cross your fingers, she'll be there.
Hello Kitty stencils for jack-o'-lanterns?
Oh,
that's an idea. They might. That'd be cool.
Don't, I'm going to be really disappointed. Yeah, what were you saying, Delaney?
Oh, I don't remember, but I am going on Thursday. I am excited. Really, I've seen, I don't know what if Hello Kitty or Sanrio, if they're doing something, but I noticed back in June, they were doing something with Afters ice cream. They were at every Afters ice cream, there was like a little Hello Kitty backboard and like all their.
Was that the pop-ups they were doing?
Maybe it was a thing.
What
they're active lately.
I was just saying, what is it with Hello Kitty and Irvine lately?
Yeah, I don't know if it's a thing. Yeah.
Maybe they've just well, I know that they've been doing a lot of like the pop-ups and they've been doing a lot of events. I don't know if it's just relegated just to Irvine, but I know they've been really active in making pushes into.
Maybe they have a movie coming out.
A secret movie.
I wouldn't lie. I would go probably go see that too.
We shall go to the midnight showing. Together.
The midnight. We'll do. We'll go to a midnight showing of the Hello Kitty movie. All right.
How would that plot go? What would happen?
In the Hello Kitty movie.
What would she do? What would her adventure be?
Do they have a Hello Kitty cartoon, or is it just characters that they sell?
It might be comics or something.
It's not comics. They're just
characters.
Cute characters that were created, and they just.
Well, then, if they were to do a movie, hopefully it would be better than the Emoji movie.
Yeah, there's not a lot better. That's not going to be. There's not a whole lot that's not going to be better than the Emoji movie from the reviews that I've been reading.
Trolls was done really well. So yeah. Could do something with
I love Trolls. I just watched Trolls for the first time about a month ago.
Oh, it was so
amazing,
great.
Absolutely amazing.
My family, we quote Trolls all the time with each other.
Great.
It was so funny, and when it came out, like with Hello Kitty, you're like, how can they possibly make a movie like that? But they did so well, so I'm sure they can make a Hello Kitty.
They can do something. But Hello Kitty doesn't talk.
Hello Kitty does not talk.
She's a mouse.
So
I know that the Dodgers.
It'll be like Tom and Jerry.
Yeah,
I know the Dodgers do like at least one or two Hello Kitty promotions throughout the year, and you can't buy a ticket to those, you know, because they give out the little Hello Kitty giveaways. And I've got a family member that works for the Dodgers, and so I get my Hello Kitty merchandise fixed.
You need it.
You know, so. All righty. Well, that's going to do it for our pop-copping segment. But if you stick around, we're going to sit and talk with John for just a few minutes about his recent experience with the Winchester Mystery House candlelight tours. So, John, take it away. Tell us about the Winchester Mystery House.
So, Winchester Mystery House in San Jose, California. For those not familiar, you need to have some background context first. So, the Winchester Mystery House was the house of Sarah Winchester, who was the wife of an heir of the Winchester Rifle Company when her husband died. Essentially, the story is she ended up moving out west because Adam Koons, who was a Boston medium, told her that her family was cursed due to all of the souls which Winchester Rifles had killed. And to get rid of this, she needs to move out west, purchase a house, and just continue building. And that's kind of the base idea. The Winchester Mystery House itself, it's a legendary, what they call now, haunted mansion. And it's funny to use that term. Disney's Haunted Mansion was inspired by the Winchester Mystery House. At one point, Walt Disney himself had sent some of his Imagineers up to the Mystery House to take photos and measurements and kind of just get a feel for the entire layout of it. But the oddity of it is it's a 160-room Victorian mansion. Literally, since she bought it, the story goes that there was construction 24 hours a day until her death. So there are rooms which have doors which open up into wall. You know, just there's a door which opens up into a wall. Not necessarily sure why, because there's no blueprints for any of this. Everything was kind of ad hoc. There's no master plan. Staircases which go up nowhere. Doors which literally will open up to the outside. Windows which look across hallways inside the house. So it's that kind of adds to the mystique of it. So the actual candlelight tour itself, 20 dates this year, happens at nighttime. It is a special event, so it is a separate ticket, and you are led through the house with one of the hosts by candlelight. So if you've never done Winchester Mystery House, it's probably best to do that first at some point and then do a candlelight tour. The idea behind the Candlelight Tour is that they're able to take a little bit more liberties with the story. So they've kind of expanded upon the idea that Adam Koons, who was the Boston mystic who sent her out, that Sarah kind of realizes that she's being conned by him. And before she finally passes away, she wants to kind of get back at him. And so the idea is that, you know, she's going to invite him back into the house for another seance and trap him inside the house, which he forced her to create and build, and that he would not be able to find a way to escape. And the tour itself kind of leads you through that premise with a lot of specific lightings. They've added various props to the house itself. So there's a lot of I'm not going to call them parlor tricks. They're actually some pretty, you know, decently done Imagineer quality effects happening in this. And this is the second year they've done it, so it's expanded from last year. This year it's 20 dates. Last year I think it was only 12 dates, which it was offered on. And they are looking at continuing this onward and onward. It has become kind of popular in the area. Definitely expanding. It was a fun tour. It's about an hour long, about the same as a normal tour, but definitely adds more to the scary creepiness factor. They do not purposely try to scare you, but there are absolute times for
I know the person that you went with on this tour did not care for it.
They liked it, but they do not like being scared and said, I do not want to do that again.
Yeah.
So, but in terms of, like, if you compare it to, like, you know, a Universal Maze, it's not anywhere. Like, a lot of the scares are kind of also in your imagination.
Okay.
No one's actively, like, trying to jump out and scare you. There just happens to might be a figure which passes through the hallway, which you see.
That's the worst. Those are the worst kinds of scares.
and it all ties into the story of the Winchester Mystery House as well. So I don't want to give too much away, but you know, if you do happen to see someone, there's backstory behind it. So it's very well thought out.
So this is kind of a fabricated story that they've come up with.
It's fabricated based on the
piggybacks on the
Basically they're saying, you know, it's our one time to kind of take a little bit liberty with the actual story, because problem too is that Sarah Winchester never left, you know, tombs of diaries. So there's a lot of mystery around the house itself, which they kind of are just taking their liberties with, because there's not really, you know, they've got a lot of facts, but then there's this whole other area of, well, what can we conject from this, you know? So it's...
Delaney, are you familiar at all with the Winchester Mystery House? Have you ever heard of it?
No. no, I'm really interested, though. This sounds really cool.
It's the house itself. It's up in, what is it? The
San Jose.
San Jose area. So it's a cool drive. It's like a weekend type of trip. The house itself is super creepy just by itself.
Really?
They've got seance rooms and
I'm into it. Like
doors. You open up a door and...
Well, there's fascination. And, you know, there's questions about whether this was Sarah, whether this was added after by another owner. But the number 13 just keeps appearing in terms of, like, chandeliers have 13 candles and
there are doors
window
and
panes,
like,
with 13.
I'm so excited. I want to do it.
And it's a Victorian style. So it's, you know, from the Victorian style house, it's kind of beautiful.
Yeah. How much was it? Do you remember?
It depends upon what day you go. Prices are ranging from $20 to $50. Various times. I think it starts at 6 p.m. and they start tours every 15 minutes. We actually were able to go on I'm going to say a preview night. My girlfriend's a key member, so it was a free event for us to go, because it was kind of an introduction one. So we lucked out, and it was just, hey, come do it. And it was the opening weekend.
Are they still doing normal tours as well?
They do normal tours during the day?
Yeah. They do
normal tours. I don't know how much of that changes. You know, I'm thinking through, like, what scenes they put in. And for the most part...
Is it just the fact that it's a candlelit thing, or is it...
Well, it's candlelit, and they've actually built a couple of scenes. built. They've changed a couple of rooms for scenery because, again, it is a it's a registered landmark house. You can't make changes to it, so they can't, like, you know, oh, we want to build a scene here and actually make structural changes to it.
Right.
But they're bringing in props and other things mm-hmm. for various areas.
And what we'll do is we'll find a link for this. We'll put the link on our Facebook page, and you can visit us there, and we'll put all of the remaining dates that are coming up.
Like, yep. It runs to October 31st pretty much every weekend, and starting the 18th, it's, well, 18th through 22nd, 25th through 31st.
So again, if you're listening to this before Halloween, it's still, we're recording this a couple of weeks before Halloween. So the next time we record, that time will have passed. But again, we'll put up a link, and we'll put that on our Facebook page, and you can visit us there to find out more information about the Winchester Mystery House tour. Was it worth it, John? Was the review?
I think it actually was. I've done the Winchester Mystery House before. This brought a whole new aspect to it.
Did you go up specifically for this, or was this part of a larger trip?
We actually went specifically for this.
Right. So no, it was totally worth the effort to go up there and.
Yeah. 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 It made for fun. You know, it was took off Friday, went, did it Friday, came back on Saturday. It was just a quick overnighter.
So 5 stars. How many stars out of 5?
I'm going to give it 4 because, you know, there's always room for improvement.
All right. Well, thank you, John. Thank you, Delaney. And thank you, Brandis. That is going to do it for our show. We will be back in 2 weeks with our holiday preview. Until then, thank you very much for listening. Again, subscribe to us on iTunes. Give us your feedback and comments. You can also email us at vacationlandpodcast@gmail.com. So for everyone here and for myself, I am your host, Chris Ramirez. Thank you for listening, and enjoy the rest of your stay in Vacationland.